Phew! That was close. I thought the debt ceiling was going to hit and the whole world was going to end. I'm just kidding, folks. My name is Dan Friel. I do the rate update every day to make sure you're informed of everything about the markets. We focus in on real estate because I'm a mortgage advisor. So if you're out there and you're looking to maybe get pre-approved for a house, maybe looking for a debt consolidation loan, even if you're maybe your parents or your grandparents, they need or want to kick around a reverse mortgage, would it benefit them? Please reach out to us and I'll give you all my information at the end of the video. But in today's video, we're going to talk about the one or maybe the two most important things that are happening today, and that is the debt ceiling. It got passed yesterday by both the House and Senate. Well, this week by the House and Senate. Now it's going over to President Biden for his signature. He'll sign that today, and we'll be all, we dodged that bullet. So now what's the next squirrel that they're going to throw us? Well, today we're going to focus in on, with this data out today, what in the world's, how's this going to affect real estate? And we're going to talk about housing affordability, because the housing demand and interest rates and all this, it all plays a role in housing. First off, I want to say for you guys out there to saying, oh, you guys pump FOMO on housing or whatever. Let me come out and just honestly say this, and I'll look you straight in the eye. I don't care if you buy a house. I really don't. Okay. At one point when you decide if buying a house is good for you and your family, please reach out to us. We'd love to help you and go through all the numbers and the programs and everything else, but nobody's putting a gun to your head and say, hey, you got to buy a house. I don't care if you buy a house or not. I don't mean to be that blunt, but I'm going to be that blunt. Okay. Not everybody should be a homeowner. Not everybody should be a parent. So that's my feelings on all of this. So with that out of the way, let's get to see how this and other things that played that came in today news data is affecting the markets. So we're going to go over the headline news on CNBC. And I know you guys are saying, Dan, you boycotted them. Well, what's the easiest sight to see? So right now we see the Dow Jones jump 300 points. Why? Well, the Senate passed the debt ceiling, but there's a monkey wrench that we're going to talk about today. The jobs numbers came in. So all this revolves around inflation. So now let's look at it this way. The debt ceiling's passed. So now it's going to be back in the forefront. The mainstream media, they're going to come up with something to divert our attention. But the biggest thing right now is inflation and the Fed. Okay, so we got some interesting numbers that came in today that we really want to dissect. So let's get over to the economic news that we have for today. ADP payroll numbers came in the other day, and I was like, they're dismal. But now we're starting to see the federal government's numbers are maybe just as bad. So the information that we got today is in regards to the jobs reports. So this is a key element because people keep saying, well, unless the jobs numbers or the unemployment rate really skyrockets, more and more people lose their jobs, it isn't going to cure inflation. That's one of the things the Federal Reserve says as well. So we have some interesting data that came in today, the jobs numbers, and it just blew out the numbers. Previous reading on the jobs report is there was 294,000 people got new jobs at the last reading. The expectations were for that to drop to 180. It almost doubled. So whoever's doing these analysis, CCs or whatever you call it, I don't know where they're getting these numbers because it's really making hard for economists to try to figure out. But let's dig into some of these elements though. We have the average hourly earnings. That's what we're going to focus in on as well. Went from 0.4. The expectations were 0.4 and it came in at 0.3. Okay, so that might not seem like a big adjustment, but it is. The unemployment rate ticked up from 3.4 to 3.7. So you might say, Dan, how did that happen? Well, let's look at it this way, just to make some things simple. We have the JOLTS index, and this is why we follow these things. The JOLTS index right here is how many job openings there are. Okay, so previously we had 9.7 million job openings. That job openings moved all the way up to 10.1 million people or job openings. Okay, so that's a lot of job openings. All right, so now even with this robust number, it's increasing our unemployment rate. Okay, so that it's a little bit conflicting numbers, but I also read into a lot of this data. And let's get over to this data right here. Let me see if I can find it for you right through here. So here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to point out a few points in this to make sure you guys are advised. So the first thing we want to do is make sure we know where this is coming from. So this is released just now by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That is basically our federal government. Look down through here. This is the jobs numbers and so forth. I'll just make it a little bit simpler here. This is a macro, and then let's go into a micro look at jobs numbers. So here's the jobs numbers reports for the last 10 years, okay? You can see jobs, usually the jobs numbers, they uptick every year. More and more people are getting jobs. Our economy's growing and growing and growing. And then what happened? The pandemic. The pandemic, everybody lost their jobs, okay? Right through here. You can see it just completely plummeted. So now we have this robust job growth. Okay, we're all the way up to here. But this whole increase right through here basically got us back to where we were right here, pre-pandemic. So if we really dive into this, let's go over to here. Look, the numbers right here. Pre-pandemic, we were at 152,000, okay? Right now, where are we? 156,000, okay? Not a huge number of jobs created during this time. You could say, well, yes, but these jobs were basically lost because people were forced out of their jobs. All right. But the interesting thing is, if we go back to this number, look at all the data that we have down here that's going to say one specific thing. And I'll point it out to you in one second. Let's find this. I know it's down through this because I read it about 10 different times. Employment in government is below its pre-pandemic February 2020 numbers. Okay. Employment is below pre-pandemic. Now pay attention to that phrase. Then you go down through here. And employment remains below February 2020. You get my point? And I can go down through here, and there's a lot of captions that keep telling us we're not where we were even back in 2020, which was right through here. So that's why I'm not huge on this job number really crashing the markets. Okay, so here's my expectations of this. So many people lost their jobs because they were forced out of jobs. A lot of people got called back, people furloughed and things like that. So if you look over the last from 2020 to 2023, where we are right now, there hasn't been that much job growth if we bring us back to where we should have been. So again, people were forced out of work because of COVID, and then they returned and a lot of people didn't go back to work. Okay, they were using excess revenues and excess assets, which I showed you on several videos. I showed you consumer discretionary income. Those charts are showing the highest spike in consumer disposable income ever in history happened in 2020 and 2021 during the pandemic. And then we saw the M2 money supply, which I did a video last week, that saw the money supply is about 5 times higher than where we were 20 years ago. So there is still a ton of money in circulation. Okay, so that's the Federal Reserve's biggest problem right now. There's so much money out there chasing too few goods that it's rising the prices of everything up and up and up. So based on all this, what was my expectations? Well, the first thing is when the debt ceiling bill passed, I'm like, okay, remember I said the markets are going to skyrocket and mortgage rates are going to come down. Then we had at the same time, basically, we had this jobs report that's really sucking some power out of the energy of rates and the stock markets and everything else. But what we want to focus in on here is, what's this going to do now for the Federal Reserve? Are they going to continue to raise rates? So to find that out, we want to find the probability is we go to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange where the Federal Funds Futures is trading. So what the Federal Funds Futures is basically a projection of what we think the Federal Reserve is going to do at the next meeting. And this is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. It's the futures market. So what we do is we scroll down through here, and I want to see if there's been any changes since this report came out. So here's the expectations of where the Federal Funds rate should be. So right now we are at 5.25. We're right through this area right through here in the federal funds rate. So what you're looking at is the federal funds rates futures. What do we expect the Federal Reserve to do at the June meeting? Well, just the other day, the probability that they were going to increase rates was about 70%. Now it's 24%. So right now the expectations are the Federal Reserve is going to kick the can in June. They're not going to do anything with rates. They're going to keep compiling the data all the way up through July, and then they're going to determine what they're going to do at that point. So right now, this just moved up to over a 50% probability that they're going to raise rates in the July meeting. They're going to skip the June meeting. So that's what all this data is telling us right through here. So let's get over to some other news that we have in the markets, and that is right here. Let's look at right now how this is all affecting the markets. And when I look at the markets, I look at this. And what you're seeing on your screen right now is the screen that I look at it on a daily basis. Why? Like I said at the beginning of the video, I'm a mortgage advisor. So my goal is to inform you guys of how much can you qualify for? What do I expect the economy to do? I don't know your particular area, what your housing market looks like. So to do that, if you're interested in buying a house, let's see how much we can get you pre-approved for, if we can even get you pre-approved, and then set you up. We have a free service that'll set you up with a realtor in your area. Why your area? Well, that's kind of a silly question, because you want to buy in your area. But we need to know what your market looks like. Not all markets are the same. And that's what really basically drives me nuts about mainstream media, is they blanket everything on the same platform. Housing is crashing. Well, not in Arkansas, not in West Virginia, not in Ohio. So you can't really pick and choose what's crashing, what's not, and so forth. So you need to make sure that you get qualified and then reach out to a realtor so we can help you in that area. So what you're seeing on your screen, though, is, hate to say it, but the MBS market isn't doing very well right now. And that's because, and you're seeing it right here, that's because of the jobs report. So you can see there's a huge spike right through here. If you really squeeze your nose into the screen, you can see there's a green spike right in here. What happened is, We were coming down, down, down. And when this comes down, what that means is the price of a mortgage-backed security is going down. So let me explain what you're seeing on your screen. A lot of people think you need to follow the 10-year treasury when you're trying to monitor mortgage rates. You don't, okay? You need to follow the mortgage-backed security bond that trades on Wall Street so you can figure out exactly what's going on, because it's the mortgage-backed security bond, okay? So that's what we want to follow. Right now, you're seeing the price of this bond tumbling. It's going down 34, okay? Let me just explain this. If the number's going down, means rates are going up, okay? The further the number going down, the further the up it's gonna go. So earlier this morning, we were coming down, 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 real nice, and then all of a sudden we popped and so forth. So you get what I'm saying. So 34 is probably gonna equate to about 0.8% increase in rates. Well, yesterday when I did my video, the market was rallying good, and then just stalled. It was waiting to find the final vote with the Senate, and then it passed after hours. So let's figure out what mortgage rates are. So mortgage rates today, or last night, let's say last night, according to Mortgage News Daily, not me, according to Mortgage News Daily, these are the top six programs that people use when they're buying or refinancing a house. So we saw the 30-year fixed rate. That's what most people get when they're buying their first house. The rate was down 0.03. Yesterday, I predicted this was going to be down about 0.08. That was at the time I did my video, and then the market stabilized from there. So you're probably going to see this hit almost back to, not quite 7% today. We're going to start teetering back on 7%. Let me explain this chart for you. So Mortgage News Daily, what they do on a daily basis is they survey mortgage lenders all over the place, all over the country. I'll reference that. And they said, if you had a borrower that was this situation, and pay attention to the situation because this might be you or it might not be you. They have a 740 credit score. They're putting 20% down. They're putting 20% down. I'll reiterate that. And then they're buying their first house, and it's their primary home. And it's actually a single family home. It's not a duplex, a condo, a three unit, four unit, anything. It's a primary home. What would the rate be? So they survey all these lenders, and this is the average rates all through each one of these cells. So this might be your rate. It might not be your rate. Remember that scenario. So how do you find out, do I qualify? What can I qualify? Is it, what do you suggest? Or can I get some help from you guys? Well, absolutely. All I need you to do is go to therateupdate.com. It's pretty simple. We got multiple ways to get a hold of us. One, give us a call. 844-775-5626. Other one, if you're just ready, hit the apply now button. Get yourself started. If you're concerned and you're like, I really don't know how much I qualify for, well, we have a one-on-one consultation button down below. It's going to set you up with me or one of my mortgage advisors to just do a one-on-one with you to answer any and all the questions that you have and see what position you are. Are you ready or are you not ready? So that's my videos for today, guys. I hope you find value in my channel. This week we saw, the debt ceiling kind of lapse, as I've been calling it, and saying, well, once they solve this, and they'll solve it, you're going to see the stock market rally and mortgage rates come down, and that's all falling right into place as we talk about it. So thanks, guys, for watching. Please don't forget to subscribe down below. I need you guys to subscribe so we can help the algorithms out. And have a fantastic weekend. I look forward to hearing from you. Take care, folks. See you next time. Bye-bye.